Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Bros. Video Game Music Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. And we thought it would be fitting, in time for the 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, to have another installment of sports game music.
Absolutely. It's been years, I think a couple or a few years since we've did our first sports games episode. And we were thinking about what topic to do this week, and we're like, hey, so something related to the Olympics. Let's do another sports episode.
Yeah.
And because of the Olympics are happening right now, we're going to give you guys a little bit of a disclaimer here. This episode has a heavy focus on the Mario and Sonic at the Olympics series. So those three, there's been three games so far that have come out, and they have wonderful soundtracks. So we have, I think, something like six tracks out of the 20 or so that we're playing today are from those three games, which is also fitting because they're Olympic themed games, right?
Yeah, I think maybe in four more years we can do an Olympic themed episode.
The three games that have come out, it's the London 2012 Olympics, the Sochi 2014 Winter Olympics, and then this year the Rio Games game came out. So the music was so wonderful. I would actually love to do a spotlight on those three games at some point, just because
also the original Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, and then there was the Winter Olympic game. No, because there was the first one.
That wasn't London?
Yeah, there was the first one in the winter one, and they weren't specific to any actual location. And then they did like the London games.
So that means
games,
they must have done
Sochi.
Five
so
then.
This is the fifth one that's coming out.
I can't speak to the first two. I can only speak to the one, the London, Sochi, and Rio. Just so many wonderful remixes. And like what's so cool is like it was worked on by the Sega composers, but it's so cool hearing Sega people do these amazing Nintendo remixes that have so much love, more than Nintendo has currently for their music. It's really wild. So yeah, let's get into it. We have some wonderful music to play for you today. And you know what's cool? Every time we do another one of these, second installments of a topic, you kind of have to dig a little bit deeper. So we definitely have some kind of more obscure games than maybe we had the first sport game. But we're gonna go back to some classics as well. So all right, let's start things off with this is just like a this is good sport music. Like one of the things I think of when I think of sports music is something like Rocky, right? When you're trying to like amp yourself up, you know, like a workout montage. And that's exactly what this track sounds like to me. The game here is Mario Strikers Charged. And I'm pretty sure that was a soccer game in the Mario Sports universe. Mm-hmm. And this was by Next Level Games. It's the same company that's working on the new Metroid Federation Force. But music-wise, they actually have a lot of talented composers. They've always done a great job for their games. It's Western composers. We have Mike Peacock, Darren Radke, and Chad York. Let's take a listen to The Wastelands from Mario Strikers Charged. That gets me pumped. You guys are listening to The Wastelands from Mario Strikers Charged. This was composed by Mike Peacock, Darren Radke, and Chad York. And man, they just nail the vibe of like 80s montages. You know, Eye of the Tiger comes to mind. The Rocky theme comes to mind. It's just what I love about this track is that they're nailing that cliche, and it's kind of self-aware, it's kind of humorous.
Sure.
But the music is actually solid, and I think the bass playing here, it's a real electric bass.
Well, and the
really
music that it's inspired by is really solid. I mean, all those tunes that you mentioned are, you know, some of my favorites. You know, these composers, they're also some of the same guys that worked on the sequel to Luigi's Mansion. Dark Moon, I thought was a phenomenal game.
Good score,
One of
too.
My favorite sequels. It really kind of I don't know. I think Luigi's Mansion was not necessarily everyone's favorite game on the GameCube, but Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon was just fantastic. These guys are great. You know, this actually kind of reminded me, this piece reminded me of the music to the Wii Sports games. I think they're both going for a sort of similar cliche.
Well, and there's another...
hearing the kind of prominent piano doing those rock chords really...
Well, I won't give it
like
away,
it.
But there's another Wii Sport-themed game that we're going to get to later today that also features these same gentlemen that came out for the Wii, and that has really good music too. So yeah, these guys always do a really good job, and that's the one thing that you know, I mean, I guess I'm not sure, but if they are working on the Federation Force, you know, I don't think they've ever done a bad soundtrack before, so
oh no,
it's probably going to be good. But
it'll probably sound exactly like this. You know, nothing. Metroid Soccer, it's about time.
Oh my goodness,
it's what
goodness.
We've always been waiting for.
Let's leave it at that. Okay. All right, we're now going to move on to a really old school game. This is Nintendo World Cup for obviously what system? The NES, right? And this is a classic NES composer here, Kazuo Sawa. Let's take a listen to the title theme, kind of a different tone from what we heard in the last track. Title theme for Nintendo World Cup. Fun stuff. You guys are listening to Nintendo World Cup, the title theme for the NES, composed by Kazuo Sawa. And Kazuo Sawa was a classic NES composer. He did titles such as Renegade, Super Dodgeball, River City Ransom, Double Dragon 2, Crash and the Boys. He did a lot of kind of classic NES stuff. And
you know,
this
really
hearing.
Sounds like he's trying to do the Manami and Takashi Mega Man sound.
It really does.
In a lot of different parts of this track.
I think we've said that before, that with old school NES sport games, it sounded just like Mega Man. Like, there's not really anything different, like, to differentiate the genre.
Because it's
like
pop rock.
Yeah, it was all exactly the same. And even that stepped its way into, like, the SNES era. Like, I listened to a lot of soundtracks for the Super Nintendo. I think we're only playing two today, but... and what was so funny is, like, you'd have this wrestling game, and you'd listen to, like, the ending theme, and it's, like, this delicate piano ballad. It's like... That would never happen nowadays.
Right.
Like, there probably wouldn't even be music nowadays.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think everyone was just so immersed in the 80s and 90s, and all that pop music was just sort of a prominent influence for games. I mean, Manami even talked about Top Gun, you know, being sort of a direct influence in some of her work. And we've talked before in games like Castlevania and Mega Man how they really are, you know, kind of going for this 80s pop rock sound.
Yeah.
And it's cool because the thing that's great about that is it almost worked in every type of genre back then. I mean, you mentioned today we couldn't get away with it, but I think it's because games, we kind of take ourselves too seriously, and the music really needs to be fitting for the genre. Where back then, it's a little bit free. It's like, oh yeah, you're playing football, but you're still having, you know, a good old
everything
time.
Everything was a little bit more colorful. It doesn't really matter the genre because everything was a little bit more uniform.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think that one of the biggest examples of the music not necessarily needing to fit the genre is all the old Nintendo sport games, like the one-word title games like golf and soccer and hockey. Mm-hmm. They have wonderful soundtracks, a lot of which by like people like Koji Kondo, Soya Oka, and Hip Tanaka. But
Akito Nakatsuka.
Yeah, they're all very like cute and plucky.
They're like early arcade music.
Yeah. And what's cool is like you listen to the soundtrack to volleyball and you listen to the soundtrack to soccer and to hockey, and they all sort of follow a very similar formula.
Well, I think it does actually fit because the games are so bare bones and simplistic by today's standards. So it's really just like the next generation of Pong.
Sure.
And so that's kind of what the music, you know, is kind of going
for
there. So for me, that's what it feels like. Yeah, going back and playing like soccer on the NES.
So
just, it's
Nintendo
so
World Cups, is this like a like the cup stacking game where you stack cups?
The cup song, yeah. No, the cup song is track 5 on the soundtrack. No, just kidding. All right, now let's move on to one of the two SNES soundtracks we're going to play today. You know, we have to do a classic on this podcast, right? It's hard to do a sports games episode and not play something from Mark Davis, the Fishing Master, right? His soundtrack is definitely one of those obscure things that, for whatever reason, we discovered near the beginning of the show, and we've just kind of loved it ever since.
What's so funny is, to me, the idea of a fishing game sounds like one of the most boring video games. I mean, fishing itself is mostly waiting around.
It's like a relaxing
way to pass
the time.
But the reward is that you're actually out in nature and, you know, you're catching a fish. But a video game version of that sounds so boring. So I think the only thing that must be interesting about this game is listening to this incredibly jazzy soundtrack.
It's really great. And you know what I love is that it was composed by two phenomenal composers. We have Ikuo Mizutani, who did Shatterhand and some of the Power Rangers games. Just killer composer, and Kinoyo Yamashita. They worked together, and they actually were
they're of such a same
partners.
Ilk in
they,
my mind.
They were partners that worked on tons of games in the 16-bit era, so they were definitely a wonderful partnership here. Let's take a listen to Spring from Mark Davis, the Fishing Master. You guys are listening to Spring from Mark Davis, the Fishing Master for the SNES. Gosh, the soundtrack is so unique and wonderful, composed by Ikuo Mizutani and Kinoyo Yamashita.
It's funny because a lot of the harmonic stuff is sometimes a little out there, very jazzy, but this whole presentation is still trying to make it feel like the kind of classic video game rock thing. And I mean, a lot of these instruments sound like they're straight out of, you know, a Mega Man X game, which, you know, Kinyo Yamashita also worked on. But what's so interesting, those two working together, because their music is very similar in my mind. I mean, when I think of the classic NES games that they worked on, they're very much of the same ilk. And
they're
Carl,
both
you
so
were saying
talented.
There's something interesting about them, maybe on a personal level, too.
For some reason, I thought I read something somewhere. I can't find it now, that they were an item at some point. Either got married or at least were an item. So I wouldn't
musically,
be surprised.
Musically,
they definitely are. They're married,
they're
for sure.
Item.
Match made in heaven. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Gosh, that's so great.
You know, I love that idea of video game marriages.
There's some of them, There's
definitely... I mean, video game
music. I know that Manami Matsumae married someone she had been working with.
God, if only Takashi Tateshi.
So,
they could be the grandparents
music. If they had a kid and he composed, it would be just ridiculous. His talent would be off the charts. Okay, so, well, you know what's cool is we play the summer theme in our Sports Games 1 episode for Mark Davis, and now we're playing the spring theme, which is not accurate to the time of year, because we're actually approaching the end of summer, but, you know, it's a theme we haven't played, right? So, awesome stuff. Now let's move on to the first track we'll play from the Mario and Sonic series. Once again, definitely a heavy focus today, because it's so wonderful. This is Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. And let's talk about the composers that worked on this game. A long list of Sega composers. Every single entry has a slightly different list. We'll just say the first few people that worked on this. Kenichi Tokoi, Naofumi Hitaya, Tadashi Kinikawa, Tomoyo Otani, and Hideki Kobayashi. And let's take a listen to an original piece of music. This isn't a remix. This is Uneven Bars. Here we go. that, wonderful folks. You guys are listening to Uneven Bars from Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. Gosh, it's so much fun.
I think it's a wonderful melody, a really nice, tasteful arrangement, and I like how they kind of make you wait for that sort of classic video game groove, the almost like Mario Kart-y
it's so groovy and just fun. It just makes me dance and smile. I gotta
dancey.
Say the music to these games are better than maybe the games warranted. I don't know why the music was so good, who was in charge of the sound team that really pushed them, because wait till you hear some of these remixes. It's just some of the best remixes of like wonderful Nintendo games that I've ever heard.
Well, because they're using real performers, and again, these arrangements are really stellar. I think this is a fantastic melody. I think it's
really
catchy. And
it was one of the things I thought about Track of the Week, but you know, there's just
so
much great music in the series.
The more recent Sonic games have been having fantastic music as of late, but you know, it doesn't necessarily feel like the quality of the Sega games are getting better, per se.
And what's so cool about this game is not only do you have wonderful Sonic remixes, everything from the Genesis stuff to modern games, wonderful Nintendo remixes, too, all in the same game.
Right.
And original music, like this is original piece of music. All right, we'll go back to that series, I promise. Let's move on to a Genesis game. This is Super Real Basketball. That's such a 90s Japanese sport
title.
It's
Super Real, dude.
Super Real Basketball. Composed by one of my favorite obscure 16-bit composers, Hikoshi Hashimoto. So good. All right.
To be confused with Hitoshi Sakimoto.
Yes. Good disclaimer. And, you know, we're not playing that classic Genesis tennis game that he did that we played before, ATP Tour Championship. Because of that, I kind of swapped out the Hashimoto scores here. So let's take a listen to First Half from Super Real Basketball. If I had to distill why I love Hikoshi Hashimoto's music into one word, I guess it would be energy or energetic. I kind of want to meet this guy because I wonder what he's like as a person, because his music is just so constantly energetic and just almost ready to explode at all times.
Really in the pocket, though. Just it feels it's super satisfying to listen to. I don't know. He's one of those composers where I kind of feel like I'm always in good hands.
Yes.
You know, even if it's something where it's not always like the catchiest melody or whatever, it feels like, you know, he's one of the heavy hitters. He's one of the, you know, the real talented Genesis composers who knows what he's doing when it comes to those primal innate aspects of music, the rhythmic and harmonic elements.
Well, especially if you want to get a little more musical specific, you know, he is able to combine things like jazz and fusion and R&B and pop and rock together in a way that feels very comfortable and natural. And it doesn't feel super wandering or aimless. Like, it feels very concise.
Well, and like a lot of retro video game music, it almost seems like the smallest and most precise gestures in every facet. Like, you listen to this drum part. To me, I would describe this as a piece that is very rhythmically engaging. But if you listen to the drum part, it's such a simple
loop that's
repeated over and over again. But that's almost what I love about it. You know, there's a lot of composers, I think, on the Genesis that are really expressive and doing a lot with every voice, but the consequence of that is that it doesn't really always sound like classic video game music. You know, you get kind of the impression of those elements, but this just feels classic with a capital C, everything about it. The other thing I love about this track in particular is, like, there's sort of this unspoken, like, rhythmic pulse of it that's not, like, deliberately articulated in the bass or the drums or the melody even, but the combination of all those instruments, you get that almost syncopated feeling of dun, 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 dun,
and man, does that feel good.
It's not, like, it's interesting because, like, the whole time I was listening to it, I was, like, I was really feeling that rhythm, you know, super hardcore,
kind of,
but
implied.
It wasn't in any of the instruments, but yeah, just the specific syncopation between all the parts together, that's sort of the rhythmic feeling that you went away
and
with.
And that's
which
the biggest thing that Hashimoto brings to the table, is his ability to combine all of those elements together and stack them in a way that is logical and makes sense and feels good together.
I can't explain, but something about this reminded me of, like, Sonic and Knuckles. There was something about it that had, like, a almost, just,
it's definitely
because,
energetic.
Like, there was something so pure about it. But even that line, mm-hmm. like, it almost just, it really reminded me of maybe, like, a boss theme from Sonic and Knuckles.
That's interesting.
Or one of the later,
you know,
level
I definitely
themes.
Didn't think of that when I first heard it, but now that you bring that up, it does have a similar sense of layering as far as how all the different sections are kind of firing.
Well,
at the
and
same
I just
time.
I can't explain it, but there's something about this to me that feels classic, not in the sense that mm-hmm. everyone's grown up with it and everybody knows it, but really just the merit of the composition itself.
So can you imagine playing a basketball game and this is the background music?
Yeah, must
it's crazy.
Be a pretty good game.
Okay, let's go back to the Mario and Sonic series. This is Mario and Sonic at the Sochi 2014 Olympic Winter Games, which obviously this game came out in 2014. We have a lot of the same people, this time Tadashi Kinikawa, Hideki Kobayashi, Naofumi Hitaya, and others. Some of the same people that worked on the first game. Let's play a remix.
I'm
really
excited for this.
This is Slider from Super Mario 64. Killer remix from the Sochi 2014 Olympic Games. Take a listen.
Here we go.
Every single track, I was like, I want this to be track of the week. But there's so many great ones to choose
points,
from.
10 points. Perfect score. Good marks. This
Isn't
is
it
fantastic.
One of the best remixes you've ever heard. And
absolutely.
That, well, this is what the score is.
What's
just
so
constant.
Phenomenal to me about it. I mean, first of all, it has the advantage of being one of the greatest melodies of all time. I mean,
it doesn't hurt.
Koji Kondo is a genius. But what I so love about this as a remix, to me, it satisfies all the criteria that you would want.
Yeah, it's not an easy
remix. It's a bold choice. It's not just kind of taking the song that exists and adding real instruments or sort of faithfully doing a realization of what it was. And no, it's a bold kind of ska remix. It has, mm-hmm. you know, differences in the form and structure of it. But to me, what I so love about it, because it's the thing that I struggle with a lot of other remixes, is that the meat and potatoes of this track are completely authentic
it's
to the original
retained,
piece.
Yeah.
The melody and the specific nature of the chords and the sort of bass inversions are really untouched.
And then every once in a while, there are moments where they're able to change a couple things when it's tasteful to do so. And then that middle section of those really fast, frantic solos, you know, where the every single person gets their little time to shine. That's so wonderful. And it's like to hear real performers make this come alive. Why is it up to Sega to do that? Like, it's so weird that, like, the best remix ever of the song is this from Mario and Sonic Olympic
right.
game. Like, it's kind of
silly.
Well,
at least it's an official game, you know. This
it
isn't
is.
Like T. Lopez or something.
We have to definitely do a spotlight on the series because just as far as remixes go, it's just some of the best remixes I've ever
it's
heard.
It's really, yeah, that was, I so enjoyed that as just a really wonderful, mm-hmm. It's amazing how they were able to both make it feel bold and like, restrained at the same time. I mean, I want to hear more remixes like that.
All right, guys, let's move on to a game for the DS, a very obscure game. Something tells me this only came out in Japan, judging by what I looked, you know, into the game and what it's called. It's called Prince of Tennis Driving Smash Side Genius. It's the name of this game. And this
random
track,
words.
This track is Final Round.
And it's a basketball game, isn't it?
No, it's a tennis game. A lot of these tennis games I found were like RPG games that are about being a tennis player or something. It's so
that's
funny.
Awesome.
And I think that's what this one is.
Carl, something you guys may not know, Carl and I both are tennis players, mm-hmm. and we've both been tennis coaches for
years. Yeah, we've taught
years.
For a long time, yeah.
So they should make an RPG game about our lives.
That would be cool. So this is a Konami game. The only crediting I have here is that Konami sound team. There's no specific crediting because it's very obscure. Let's take a listen to Final Round.
Listening to Final Round, and Carl, this is a track from your album Back in Orbit that just came out.
No,
right?
It's not. This is from Prince of Tennis for the DS.
Oh, my mistake.
You think
mistake.
It sounds like my music?
I really think it sounds like your music. It doesn't really sound like Back in Orbit, but when Carl was in college, he was in a band called Apartment 4 that did a lot of like 80s kind of dance music and
synth dance rock.
Yeah, and just everything about this track just really reminds me of
I
Carl's sort of brain and the same kind of
maybe
instrument
that's why
sounds
I picked
and
it.
Rhythms and everything.
That's probably why I picked it. It's a very obscure game, but I thought this was a cool track. Very good rhythms, like very driving, catchy
I'm
rhythms.
I'm curious to the listeners of the show because there's a lot of times when we'll comment that a piece of music sounds like the other person. Like Carl will say, "Oh, Will, I got this for you. This really mm-hmm. sounds like you." Or I'll say to Carl, like, this really sounds like a Carl track. I wonder if for you guys listening at home, does that usually, like, are you like, what? That doesn't make sense. Or is it kind of like, oh, yeah, that's so Carl. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, I'm curious what you guys think. Is it only because he's my brother and I know him so well?
I mean,
or
I
do
definitely,
you guys know him as
I think
well
you're,
as I do?
You're right. I mean, that's probably why I like this track is because it felt very natural to me.
Because you're narcissistic and you like things that look and sound like you.
This is kind of the kind of music that I tend to resonate with a lot. It's very
music.
Rhythmic, groovy, energetic. Consistently, I guess consistently groovy, I would say, but cool piece of music. All right, now this is very funny and obscure. You know, one of my favorite sport game soundtracks ever is Minnesota Fats Pool Legend from
and
the
not
Sega
just
Genesis.
Because we're from Minnesota.
No, so Minnesota Fats was this nickname of this
and
actual
we're avid pool hustlers.
Really good pool hustler. And so they made a Genesis game that had really good sophisticated jazz music. And as far as Genesis goes, nothing else touches it. It's just very authentic and like really beautiful ballads. It also came out, I found, for the Sega Saturn. And some of the same composers worked on it with different music. So a totally different set of songs. Same vibe, though. old kind of school sounding jazz ballads, right? And I was listening to the Saturn version, and a lot of it is, as you would expect, elevator music and stuff. But there's this one track that came up, and it was a really wonderful homage, very clear homage to Moonlight Serenade, you know, the old Glenn Miller standard.
Sure.
And so even as far as the part writing, kind of the horn harmonies, everything about this is almost like them doing an homage to that
song. You know
what's
interesting to that piece is, you know, I'm a really big fan of a lot of that old production music,
yeah,
the kind of Muzak, you know, elevator music-y,
stuff
like that you'd hear in, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And there's actually quite a lot of pieces in that world that borrow a significant influence from Moonlight Serenade.
Well, let's take a listen to this track. Really no title here. So this is BGM 10 from Minnesota Fats for the Saturn, composed by Misaki Iwasaki and Shogo Sakai. Wonderful stuff. You guys are listening to BGM 10 from the Saturn version of Minnesota Fats Pool Legend, which is a billiards game, has its own original soundtrack compared to the Genesis. This is by Misaki Iwasaki and Shogo Sakai, a Data East game. And you know, one thing I read, first of all, I knew there was going to be great stuff here because these composers know their stuff. I know they're versed in jazz, but I was reading some things about the game, and people are saying, you know, it's maybe not the best game. The gameplay is kind of lame, and people are saying, oh, the soundtrack is this really bad, like, elevator
it's
music.
It's a Glenn Miller cover
and
band.
And there is some cheesy stuff here and there, but you just have to kind of take some time and put your time in. You will find hidden
gems.
Well,
I mean, I really would understand why people don't like it, and it's something that... I mean, we've talked about this before, but
well, it's the presentation.
For whatever reason, we've all just decided as a culture that this kind of music, or that, like, elevator music, is, like, not to be taken seriously. And it's interesting because it's... I really don't think it's the case that the composers weren't taking it seriously.
They were taking
it
very seriously.
It's just a cultural label.
Well, here's the thing.
When we hear that kind of jazz music, we just like, oh, that's cheesy.
Well, we can
and
tell
also
you...
the instruments and
let's
things.
Let's talk about it from a composer's perspective. This kind of music is not easy.
Of course
it's a
not.
Very complex kind of music, has a specific harmony. What I enjoyed about this track...
it's just very old-fashioned.
The clear homage to specifically Moonlight Serenade. It's in the same key. It starts with the same few chords. That
and
the second
even,
half...
yeah, once the head comes in,
yeah,
it starts
the second
on
half
the same
of the head,
degree.
Those harmonized... even down to the harmonized horn hits.
Right.
Exactly the same.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
And I think that's so great that they're able to not only have the idea, but to nail that. That's not easy to
do.
Well,
the other thing, it's like, when you're giving such blatant homage to something that is like 80 years old, it's,
right.
I think you get a little bit more credibility. Because these composers, mm-hmm. they didn't grow up in the 30s and 40s, you know, in the big band era. Mm-hmm. That would be a little bit of a more of a cheap shot. But here, I mean, the idea of doing a soundtrack like this at all is kind of a really nice, refreshing choice. And so I think kind of hitting that nail on the head as obviously as they really were.
And one of my favorite things about video game music, specifically that we get to talk about old stuff and new stuff, is that there are games like this that most people would throw away and never spend any time looking into. But for me, you know, understanding these Japanese composers and understanding how much they know about this kind of music, it's so fun to go and listen to something and discover a hidden gem like this. This is a track that is 100% unappreciated by most of the world. Most people don't know
right.
it. You know, when you think about the soundtrack, the only thing that people, some people know would be the Genesis version. I don't know. I didn't even know there was a Saturn
version.
Well,
I mean, I also think, though, if this had, you know, real players, people would not be as averse to the music. I mean, I think they still would overall get the sense that it's
part
cheesy,
of it was just the era when
that
a lot of
type
stuff
of
was lost.
Old-fashioned composition that feels very Muzak-y mixed with the really bad General MIDI sounds. I mean, it probably sounded very stock. And the fact that the piece was kind of like just tap dancing around the framework of Moonlight Serenade. You know,
but I happen to love it, and I'm really glad we played it. Okay, let's now move back to the Mario and Sonic games. This is...
You know, I don't think it's a good sign for your track if after it's done, you have a different piece in your head. Because now I just have Moonlight Serenade in my head.
Anyways, it's a fun experiment. This is Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. Hey, that's what's happening right now if you're
listening
to
this. Mario and Sonic are, you know, going head to head down in Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, so this is a remix of Super Bell Hill from Mario 3D World, and it improves upon the original in every way. I think it's just a better version of the track.
Get out of town, that's
great. It's really cool, yeah. So the couple composers here that maybe weren't in the other games, we have Terohiko Nakagawa, Kenichi Takoi, he did work in the other ones. We also have Mitsuharu Fukuyama and Tomoyo Otani, some of the same names there.
Well, what's funny is I think originally the promise of Super Mario 3D World was that it was going to be a quote-unquote big band soundtrack, but there's really only like three or four tracks in the game that even utilize the full
big band.
Yeah,
so this isn't like a... this is like, again, it's like a little bit of a twist on it, so it's kind of taking it into a slightly new territory. Let's take a listen to Super Bell Hill.
Stop! I can't take anymore.
Will's heart can't take
they
it.
They stuck the landing. It's phenomenal.
Well, do you see what I was talking about? It's like these Sega composers did such a phenomenal job with this Nintendo music, better than the Nintendo
people are
doing.
I'm almost brought to tears. That was incredible.
And will you agree that it takes that song and just makes it 100 times better?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's so amazing. That track, Super Bell Hill, compared to like some of the new Super Mario Brothers games and Super Mario 3D Land and stuff, I thought that was a wonderful theme, and I really do like that soundtrack. There was something about its presentation in the game. I'm not talking about the staff role, I love the whole big band arrangement,
but the regular version.
The regular theme, there's something about it. It was a good melody and it felt like Mario, but it always just kind of felt like an impression. But what's great about this is it's kind of realizing
it's full realized
what that specific melody and what that track wants to be. It's not, there's
it
nothing
to be a big band with lush harmony and key changes
and
just
honestly
strings.
That string for the B section was a really nice there's a huge part of me that wishes, I mean, I know there's obviously modulation in this track grows in as a climax, but a version like this I think would have been much more satisfying.
Well,
in that
can we
game.
Commit to doing a spotlight on this series?
Yeah,
because it's just, dude, it was so hard to pick. I only got to
in
pick a few
years,
tracks.
In 4 years, the next Olympic Games.
No, it was so hard to pick a few tracks because every track I listened to was amazing. You know, there's this really killer Mario Land medley. You will just love, like, with real players, like some of those Mario Land themes that I've never heard a real person play before.
I just almost wonderful. Just want them to become like a touring cover band. Like, I would go hear these guys live.
And the Sonic stuff is great too, so that's why I want to have
yeah, and Sonic's good, but the Mario stuff's where it's
at. I do want to have a spotlight. All right, let's move on to the most nostalgic pick for me. I grew up playing this game so much as a kid. This is NBA Jam
yeah.
for the Genesis.
Now, known for its music.
I really do think the music's cool. It's by a Western composer named John Hay, and I think it's really funky. The character select music, I really, for a long time, have wanted to actually like write that out and play that, because I think it's really cool. But we're going to play a track we didn't play last time. This is BGM1, so this is the main background music while you're playing NBA Jam. I think that's a groovy track right there. This
I think
is
that's
so
a tough
nostalgic.
Fact to follow, though.
It is, and that's why it's like, might as well clean our palate with NBA Jam, right?
Yeah.
This is complete nostalgia here. Nostalgia goggles are fixed to my head. This is BGM1, composed by John Hay.
Yeah, I really don't think we would be playing this if you didn't grow up with this game.
I happen to think it's cool. It's definitely nothing cool. compared to the character select.
Yeah, I mean,
theme.
I'm still like reeling from that incredible arrangement. I feel like my heart exploded.
All right, well,
and I'm born anew.
Let's move on to something different then. This is the second Super Nintendo track of the day. This is from a soccer game. It's called International Superstar Soccer Deluxe. It was composed by Hideyuki Ito, Harumi Ueko, and Tomoyo Tomita. So this
and with
is
a
some...
tasteful name like that, I expect a really subtle soundtrack.
No, not at all. And Tomoyo Tomita also worked on this.
Nice.
So this was a Konami game. He used to work at Konami, 16-bit era. Let's take a listen to Further Challenges.
Carl, wait, can I just say something?
Sure.
I'm having a great time.
Me too. Solid rhythm section writing here. It's very reminiscent of Earth, Wind, and Fire, a lot of kind of 70s, 80s R&B. You guys are listening to Further Challenges from International Superstar Soccer Deluxe, which is a Konami game for the Super Nintendo. I think this is a really just solid kind of pop R&B jazz sound. I think they really nail it. I think the best thing about this is just the groove. It's kind of one of those songs that in the game you probably only hear it for a few seconds, and you probably wouldn't even get to that main horn melody coming in. So I think the best thing about this track is kind of the funky guitar and the way that the drums and bass are all lining up with each other. It's very groovy.
I love that like 90s brass sound.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's out of like a Michael Jackson song.
Synth brass. It's so good. All right, guys, it is time to move on to this week's track of the week. And it should be no surprise that it comes to us from the Mario and Sonic series.
I don't think my heart can take anything better than what we've already heard.
Well, it's really hard to say because they're all so good. It was hard for me to pick.
I mean, those guys are so good. They almost made me cry to Super Bell Hill.
Right.
What are they going to do to it?
It was tough to pick a track of the week, but I thought this was a wonderful remix. This is Mario and Sonic at the Sochi 2014 Olympic Winter Games. Going back to Sochi and 2 years ago, this is Bowser's Galaxy Generator from Super Mario Galaxy.
I already love that
really
track.
Nice arrangement here. Let's take a listen to this from Sochi 2014 Winter Olympic Games. Folks, only in video games would this come together. You have really nice, like, jazz piano soloing, full big band, full orchestra and drum set. It's like, kind of reminds me of kind of like Quentin Tarantino's kind of musical influence from like the 70s, like, you know, exploitation films.
Right.
But it's with the beauty and like romantic style of Mihiro Yokota.
Right, no, it's Mario Galaxy meets Jackie Brown for sure.
It's so weird and wonderful. I just love it.
It's fantastic. To me, honestly, though, this really feels like a subtle arrangement. I mean, the newer elements come really from the drums and bass.
The rhythm section.
But in terms of the orchestration, I mean, it's clearly a smaller orchestra here than, like, what was it, the 60, 70, 80-piece orchestra that they use in Galaxy. But in terms of, like, the instrument groups and the counter melodies and the overall arrangement, it's very authentic to what Mihiro Yokota does.
Yeah.
But the groove element, to me, again, just shines a light on how great all the other aspects of the piece are. This is just fantastic.
It's one of the best, you know, I want to show this to somebody who is getting into remix. Like, what is my goal to create a remix? And I think what it is to shine a light on what is great about the original.
Right.
But do it in a different light.
Add something new to it, but make the new thing complement and really reflect what was already great about
and
what's
there. To me make you want to go back and listen to the old thing
tasty,
wonderful stuff. All right, now I'm going to break the rules a little bit. I don't think it's breaking the rules, but it's kind of like questionable, right? Because I'm going to play a track from a professional racing game. Now, you know, we have racing episodes and those are different, right? But really, when you think about NASCAR, like professional racing, that is a sport.
I'm going to allow it, but I don't like it.
You don't like it. All right. So what's cool about this is a few weeks back, we played a track from the arcade game F1 Dream. And that arcade version was composed by Manami Matsumae and Takashi Tateshi.
I will be in touch with my lawyer.
Now, it also came out for the TurboGrafx. Now, the TurboGrafx version was composed
by... I love the TurboGrafx. I would never say anything negative about
that
system.
Obviously, anyone who knows this podcast knows that Will is his favorite system. What's interesting is the TurboGrafx version featured a soundtrack by this, at this time, kind of a newcomer to Capcom, a composer by the name of Yoko Shimomura. So Yoko Shimomura did a really nice original TG-16 version of F1 Dream. Let's take a listen to Race 1.
We'll be right back.
You guys are listening to Race 1 from F1 Dream for the TurboGrafx, composed by Yoko Shimomura. I love this early era
of Yoko. This is crazy. It's like a lost Street Fighter track.
Isn't it wonderful? I love going back and hearing that, because she had such a specific style, and when she combined all the influences that, I mean, to be honest, all of her peers were combining too.
Right.
The way that she combined it, though, created this different final outcome.
This 80s chord progression mixed with like that counter melody, doo-boo-doo-dun,
yeah.
And then also some of the intervallic moments in the melody, you know, just either really remind me of like Ryu's theme, Ken, Guile, like some of just the all-time classics.
Again, it was a hidden gem, because the arcade version is obscure enough, but the fact that there was a separate
TurboGrafx
version.
And I think the TurboGrafx sounds are perfect, and there's nothing.
He has no problems with them?
No issues. I think it's beautiful. It's beyond beautiful, actually. It makes me weep at the feet. I bow to the TurboGrafx.
It's beyond reproach. No, Will, you took a good advice from your lawyer, and just to be very, you know, agreeable from here on.
He's on speakerphone right now. Well, I actually know. I called him, to be fair, because you played a racing game track.
I did play a racing. But racing.
You broke protocol.
You know, professional racing is a sport. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that, all right? We're going to move on to, I alluded to this earlier, Punch-Out for the Wii. Do you remember when this game came out? It was an exciting time. Fun game, really good soundtrack.
Love Punch-Out for the Wii. It's a phenomenal soundtrack.
Yeah, the soundtrack's by the same people I talked about. Next Level Games made it.
They're good.
Mike Peacock, Darren Radke,
and
Chad York.
A lot of it is rearrangements of the arcade and NES versions.
Let's take a listen to Minor Circuit Fight. You know, it's exactly what I was talking about with the Mario Strikers Charged track, is they're kind of going back to that Eye of the Tiger, that 80s montage style, obviously using the music of Kenji Yamamoto for the original Punch-Out, but doing it in a way where it's like kind of finally, this is like the full realization of maybe what those composers were originally going for.
Right. What's interesting, Koji Kondo wrote the title theme for Punch-Out on arcade, but this sort of in-game music, to me, this also is more famously used, if I remember correctly, in the montage of the NES game, when Mac is, you know, running through the streets of New York and his like training coach is biking ahead of him, that kind of classic 80s montage music. But this is such a faithful realization of it. It really does feel like Rocky, which is, you know, what this series was always meant to feel like in the
first
place.
Fun music. Good job. Those Next Level guys do a great job. All right. Let's play another track from Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games. And you know what? Let's go to another original piece of music. I think this is a really cool piece of music. What you guys are going to hear later on in the track, after it's done all the different sections, you're going to start to hear a big crowd chant version come in, where like the melody is going to be chanted by what feels like a soccer stadium, which is such a great choice.
That's so cool.
It's really cool. So let's take a listen to Football. doesn't that put a smile on your face? You guys are listening to Football from
Rio. It puts a dance on my feet and my butt.
And it's so wonderful. You know, this is the Rio 2016 Mario Sonic game, and they definitely are incorporating some Latin, you know, specific Latin influence since it's
really
in Rio.
Wonderful.
Brazilian influence here. Yeah, it's just so great. I mean, I love when those gang vocals come in, and you can tell that it's definitely the Sega guys in the studio recording it together and making it sound like a soccer stadium.
Wouldn't it be crazy if they used this music for the actual Rio Olympics?
That'd be awesome.
Like, just instead of the John Williams fanfare and instead of the Bugler's Dream, which I love. They're phenomenal. I'm just saying, like,
we played in
it
with
would really be a
version
fun
of
time.
Bugler's Dream, yeah. All right, guys, let's move on to the Game Boy Color, and we're going to play another track composed by Iku Mizutani. If you recall, in our Game Boy Music You May Not Have Heard episode, Iku Mizutani was very prolific on the Game Boy Color. This is a game called Hole-in-One Golf. This is Tokyo Course. Let's take a listen. You guys are listening to Tokyo Course from the GBC game Hole-in-One Golf by one of my favorite composers, Iku Mizutani. This is a different side of Mizutani. It's a lot more bright and happy. I think of his music, it's more kind of minor key rocking, right? But Will, what do you think about this? I think it's a solid melody.
I think it's wonderful. Yeah, I really like it. Very
fun
catchy.
Fun fact, this was on my original list for that playlist of Game Boy game music you may not have heard, and it didn't quite make the cut, so I really wanted to
play it. So why are we playing
it today? This garbage. Why are we playing this
May I remind you that the lawyer is still on hold?
All right, let's move on. What do we have? Oh, yeah, this is cool. Now, this game, I was not able to find much information on it, including the composer. There's no information. All I have is the company who made this, which is Miracle Kids with a Z. The name of the game is Downtown Smash Dodgeball.
The game was made by kids? Do they know what they're doing?
They're Miracle Kids. Downtown Smash Dodgeball. And this is Stage 1. Let's take a listen. This, by the way, came out for the Xbox Live Arcade. Here we go. Fits so well in this playlist. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Yoko Shimomura mixed with some Latin, maybe some Brazilian influence. It's so groovy. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of homage to maybe like Super Dodgeball or something, you know, because some of this music kind of sounds a little bit like Super Dodgeball, but it's definitely like invigorated with a new sense of, you know, kind of modern energy. I wish I could have found out who did this because I think this is amazing. And this game is pretty obscure. I can't find much information on it. All I know is that it came out for the Xbox Live Arcade, and the music is great.
Really catchy stuff, man.
What do you think about the instrument choices here? I know they're doing some chip sounds mixed with modern sounds. I feel like the main thing they're trying to go for is kind of like the classic 80s era of game music, but like
yeah,
with modern sounds.
Yeah, it's really nice. I'd love to kind of hear more of this. I think it's an interesting choice. I think it takes your ears a little while to get used to, but it's almost sort of the best option rather than doing sort of a full chiptune thing or like a full, you know, modern arrangement that might sort of lose the original spirit. I think it's really tasteful and nice.
It's a good track. Let's move on to the last track of the day from Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games, which again is happening right now, folks. This is maybe my favorite remix. I don't know why I didn't make this track. It was really hard to decide because every single one was so great. Well, you're going to love this. I'm not even going to tell you what this is. I'm just going to let you enjoy this. This is a remix from Mario and Sonic at the Rio Olympic Games.
Here we go.
That is Rosalina in the Observatory remix from Mario and Sonic at the 2016 Rio Games.
I'm so glad they're remixing all this Galaxy stuff because it's just
God,
so good.
Great. And it's like this is Rosalina in Rio, right? Because
right.
It's like it feels like the Brazilian.
Well, the other thing that's nice, it just, I don't know, as soon as something like this happens, it just sort of solidifies that like this is a classic Nintendo theme.
Timeless.
That will be with us hopefully forever.
Forever.
Man, this
what
is
are your
nice.
Thoughts
I think
on
it's really hard to do like a groovy waltz, to do like a jazz waltz groove. It's sometimes tricky in terms of drums and not really make it sound cheesy. But I thought, I don't know, Carl, I'm curious, like sort of your opinion about this, but it was really tasteful. I felt like
so tasteful.
It retains, just like the other stuff, the great qualities of the original piece, but just adds like a heightened sense of fun and rhythmic playfulness.
It's exactly the same effect that the other remix we've played today. Taking the good things about the original and very, in a craftful way, in a very smart way, making it a new genre, you know, a new presentation that we've never heard before, but it also seems to fit. Like, if someone wasn't familiar with the original, they would just say, oh, this is a wonderful little kind of jazz waltz here. And you're right, it is not an easy thing to do. I mean, lesser composers or maybe less knowledgeable composers and arrangers would have not been able to do this because, you know, the harmonies are rock solid, the instrumentation, the arranging, the playing, the performance. You know, I'm a really big fan of how they're incorporating the accordion in there to give it a little bit more of a sometimes almost like a French
sound. The other
sound.
Thing, the elephant in the room, Mr. Koji Kondo. I mean, this is one of the greatest melodies
saying,
of all time.
Yeah.
And I said that about Slider, but I agree with both of those statements. I mean, this is just genius.
You really can't beat these games because you have some of the best music and then some of the best remixers and arrangers that are working in games in the world. So it's great. All right, guys, last track of the day here. This is from Mario Sports Mix, which came out for the Wii, which had a few different sports that you could play with these characters. This is Koopa Troopa Beach, composed by Masayoshi Soken and Kumi Tanioka. guys, I had an absolute blast preparing and sharing this music for our Sports Games Round 2 episode. Dude, very fitting and timely.
So did I. This was phenomenal. I had so no fun. Idea how much fun I would have on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were right. Those Mario and Sonic Olympic games really sort of took the cake.
They definitely did.
But this was, yeah, an all-around wonderful playlist and just really fun and fitting that we got to do this in time for the Olympics. 2016 Olympics.
Guys, I want to have one more disclaimer. Stick around because I really enjoyed this playout track. I think you guys, it'll leave you guys with a nice happy feeling. It's a good playout track. It's from another DS sports game. It's called Atsumare Power Pro Kori no DS, which is a baseball game. This is the main theme composed by Naoki Sato. So you guys will enjoy this playout theme and we'll be back with you next week.
Yeah, guys, one thing I just want to plug once again. Last week, Carl and I both released new albums. I had an album called Axiom that's sort of original film music, orchestral stuff. And Carl had an album called Back in Orbit, which is sort of the synth fusion stuff. They're both very different, but if you guys are fans of the show, you'll probably enjoy it. And you can get those both. They're free for the taking at supermercadobros.bandcamp.com.
Awesome, guys. Again, we're going to play you with that DS track. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.